Lesson 18. Words and Expressions. Accept. Accuse. Advantage. Apply. Bargain. Buy. Bought. Carrier bag. Cash. Check. Close. Compare. Compensate. Considerable. Consult. Consumer. Convenience. Convenience food. Credit. Credit card. Customary. Department store. Detection. Develop. Differ. Differ from. Discount. Discount store. Display. Electrical. Electronic. Exchange. Faulty. Goods. Guarantee. High Street. Household. Import. Internationally. Internationally known. Low. Major. Manufacturer. Overseas. Part. Particularly. Pay. Paid. Policy. Preparation. Price. Product. Prosecution. Providing. Queue. Range. Range from to. Receipt. Resident. Right. Self-service. Service. Shopkeeper. Shoplifting. Slightly. Specialize. Specify. Sterling. Street. Supermarket. Tax. Theft. Transfer. Traveler. Traveler's check. Unless. Useful. Value. VAT. Value added tax. Wire. Proper noun. Napoleon. Text. Shopping in Britain. Most shops in Britain are closed on Sundays, but open all day Monday to Saturday. Many towns and villages also have a half-day closing during the week from about 1300 hours, but they may stay open later on another evening. There are one or two shopping customs in Britain which may differ from your practice at home. Bargaining is not customary in shops. Customers are expected to pay the marked price for goods. The famous British queue applies particularly when shopping. You may not always see a queue, but those waiting are expected to take their turn. In self-service shops and street markets, remember to take your own shopping bag, because many shops charge you for carrier bags. In self-service shops, however, always put the goods in the wire baskets provided by the shop first. Then pay for them and transfer them to your own bag later. If you forget and put them straight into your own bag and leave without paying, you may be accused of shoplifting, which can lead to a police prosecution for theft. Unfortunately, this is a fairly common form of theft in some parts of Britain, and many shops have electronic detection equipment and a tough policy on prosecution. If you are buying expensive household goods, you may like to consult which magazine in a public library. In this magazine, the cost and quality of products from various manufacturers are compared. In recent years, Britain has developed a considerable body of law to protect customers' rights. For example, shops must exchange faulty goods, providing you can produce a receipt. So do keep receipts and guarantees, particularly for major purchases. Napoleon I is said to have remarked over 150 years ago that the British were a nation of shopkeepers. Today, the variety of different shops is certainly an advantage. They range from the internationally known department stores to much cheaper local street markets. Most areas have what used to be known as corner shops for local residents, which often keep longer hours than the high street shops. Their slightly higher prices are usually compensated for by their convenience. There are also discount stores specializing, for example, in electrical goods, where you may find prices much lower than in the normal high street shops. In general, supermarkets and street markets are particularly good for fresh fruit and vegetables, and in many places they have a wide range of imported foreign foods which may remind you of home. There are also convenience foods which are already cooked, need little preparation, and are useful for people in a hurry. VAT, or Value Added Tax, is a government purchase tax of 15% added to many goods and most services. Most prices include tax, unless otherwise specified, but on large purchases it is wise to check. As an overseas visitor, you might not have to pay VAT on some large purchases. You can pay for goods by cash, by check, on a British bank account with a bank guarantee card, or by sterling traveller's checks, usually with no problem. If the shop displays a credit card sign, it will accept that particular credit card. Lesson 19. Words and Expressions. Advancement. Angry. Biz. Chain. Child rearing. Combine. Commute. Commuter. Conduct. Disappear. Distance. Earache. Enthusiasm. Estimate. Flexible. Fly. Flew. Flown. Further. Graduate. Hard. Hate. Increase. Independent. Journalism. Marriage. Memorize. Mummy. Newscaster. Obstacle. Own. Plus. Politics. Producer. Reach. Requirement. Researcher. Respond. Scarce. Schedule. Schedule. Sense. Separation. Solidly. Support. Telephone. Tend. Toddler. Tolerance. Tuck. Vice. Wake. Woke. Waken. Whatever. Proper nouns. Bob. Boston. Davis. Doris. Etchelson. Hayden. Kate. Long. Newark. Ohio. Robert. Susan. Yarmouth Port. Text. The ways and means of long-distance marriages. Kate Hayden, 32, and Bob Long, 37, a couple for 8 years and a married couple for 4, have never lived together in the same town or house. She is a newscaster at WABC-TV in New York City. He is an independent TV producer-director in Los Angeles. Kate is on call 7 days a week, so Bob flies in to spend 2 weeks with her every month. The rest of the marriage is conducted by telephone. They talk 6 or 7 times a day, and last month their phone bill was $800. I tuck her in at night and wake her up in the morning, says Bob. There is nothing good about separation, but we refuse to let it be an obstacle. Such determination helps. There are at least 700,000 commuter couples, according to some estimates. The requirements are simple enough. Jobs in 2 different cities, each too good to turn down, a full-time sense of humor, the ability to memorize airline schedules, plus a tolerance for the earaches that come from hours on the telephone. According to the researchers, about half of these married commuters are in the academic world, where work schedules are flexible and jobs too scarce to turn down. But the numbers are increasing in business, politics, showbiz, and journalism. The education level is high. About 90% have done some graduate work. Family income tends to average $30,000 to $40,000 a year. Often the commuting comes about because the wife has reached a level at which further advancement means moving, and the husband solidly supports the move. Doris Etelson, 51, the first woman vice president of Howard Johnson Company, the restaurant chain, has been married for 32 years and commuting for 5. When she was offered the job in Boston, her husband Robert, 54, who owns a company in Newark, responded with enthusiasm. "She supported me for years," he says, "and now she should get whatever success she can get." Combining long-distance marriage with child-rearing is the hardest part of commuting. One 2-year-old child of a commuter marriage who lives with his father in Yarmouthport, Massachusetts, has been to the airport so often that he calls all airplanes Mommy. Some toddlers, like the 18-month-old daughter of Susan Davis, just hate commuting. "She was really very angry that her father had disappeared," says Susan. "He would kiss her and she would turn her head away." So Susan's husband gave up a high-level job in Ohio and is now back in Chicago.
Lesson 20. Words and Expressions. Anti. Asian. Aspect. Basically. By. Bicultural. Bilingual. Border. Brand. Canadian. Complain. Countryman. Cross. Difference. Disturb. Economic. Effect. Emotion. Escape. European. Exclusively. Finger. Foreignness. Franchise. Gas. Human. Inhabitant. Interior. Intrigue. Large. Latter. Line. Magazine. Majority. Makeup. Motel. Movement. Mysterious. Nationalist. Nature. Neither. Novel. Official. Operation. Outward. Palace. Pardon. Powerful. Presence. Pressure. Province. Race. Removed. Resistance. Separatist. Soul. Stand. Station. Style. Suggest. Superhighway. Supporter. Tension. Twist. Unique. Wilderness. Wood. Proper nouns. America. Asian. Canadian. European. Quebec. Text. We're not the same. Outward displays of emotion are not part of the Canadian style. We are basically a northern people. We do not live in the street as southern races do. We are an interior people in more ways than one. The Americans are far more outgoing than we are. One reason for this, I think, is the very real presence of nature in our lives. Although it is true that we are city folk, most of us live within a few hours' drive of the wilderness. We escape to the woods whenever we can. No Canadian city is far removed from those mysterious and silent places which can have such an effect on the human soul. There is another aspect of my country that makes it unique in the Americas, and that is our bilingual and bicultural makeup. Canada has two official languages, English and French. And in its largest province, a majority of the inhabitants speak the latter almost exclusively. Visitors are intrigued by the foreignness of Quebec City, with its twisting streets and its French-style cooking. But there is also a disturbing regional tension. Quebec has become a nation within a nation, and the separatist movement is powerful there. French Canada's resistance to English Canada's cultural and economic pressure can be seen as similar to English Canada's resistance to the same kind of pressure from the United States. This helps to explain why many English-speaking Canadians, who call themselves nationalists, are strong supporters of special rights for the province of Quebec. This is not to suggest that Canadians are anti-American. If anything, the opposite is true. We watch American television programs. We read American magazines and the American best-selling novels. We tend to prefer American-made cars over the European and Asian products. We welcome hundreds of thousands of American tourists to our country every year, and don't complain much when they tell us that we're exactly the same as they are. Of course, we're not the same. But the visitor may be pardoned for thinking so when he or she first crosses the border. The buildings in our cities are designed in the international styles. The brand names in the supermarkets are all familiar. The chicken palaces, hot dog stands, gas stations, and motels that line our superhighways are American franchised operations. It is only after several days that the newcomer begins to sense a difference. He cannot put his finger on that difference, but then neither can many of my countrymen. The only thing we are really sure of is that we are not Americans. Lesson 21. Words and Expressions. Anxiously. Billy. Blood. Breathe. Chest. Comfortable. Companion. Condition. Defend. Drag. Gate. Gently. Hind. Hind leg. Hurt. Hurt. Hut. Leg. Lift. Mad. Pain. Pause. Rib. Shepherd. Smile. Swag. Though. Till. Towards. Undress. Proper nouns. Lawson. Macquarie. Tally. Text. A Man and His Dog, after Henry Lawson. Macquarie the shepherd had had an accident. At least, that was his story. In fact, he had had a fight in a bar. He had several broken ribs, and his head was covered with blood. His dog, Tally, had tried to defend him, and one of its hind legs had been broken. After the fight, Macquarie had picked up his swag and had walked to the nearest hospital. The dog had followed him all the way on three legs. The doctor examined him. He was surprised that the old man had been able to walk so far. "You can have a bed here till you're better," he said, "but we can't have that dog in the hospital. Dogs aren't allowed here." You can put him in that hut outside, said Macquarie. No, he must go somewhere else. Dogs aren't allowed inside the gates. This hospital is for people, not for animals. Macquarie rose slowly to his feet, though the pain in his ribs was terrible. He dragged himself across the room to the corner where his dog was guarding his swag. What are you going to do? The doctor asked. If my dog can't stay, I can't. He lifted his swag, but the pain was so great that he dropped it again. You must be mad, the doctor said. You can't leave here in that condition. Let the nurse help you to undress. Then get into bed, and I'll deal with your broken ribs. No, said Macquarie. No. My dog needs more help than I do. I've only hurt my chest, but he has a broken leg. He paused. Even breathing gave him a lot of pain. That old dog has followed me for 12 hungry years. He's my only friend in the world. He paused again. Then he added, with a sad smile, that dog was born in the bush. His mother died a few weeks later. I carried him in a billy till he was old enough to walk far. He has been a true companion. Several times he has saved my life. The dog raised itself on its three good legs and looked anxiously at the old man's face. He gently touched its head. Then he picked up the swag and took two steps towards the door. But he never reached it. The nurse and the doctor caught him as he fell. When he woke, an hour later, he was in bed. His chest was feeling more comfortable. "Where's my dog?" he asked at once. "Oh, the dog's all right," said the nurse. "Don't worry. The doctor's fixing his leg in the hut outside. He couldn't send away your only friend."
Lesson 22. Words and Expressions. Acceptable. Acceptance. Agreement. Argue. Aside. Base. Blare. Bother. Comment. Companionship. Confusing. Consider. Conversational. Court. Diplomat. Direction. Disagree. Draw. Extent. Fill. Formal. Formality. Heritage. Housewife. Immediate. Impolite. Indicate. Inherit. Judge. Merely. Military. Minimum. Ms. Nationality. Noticeably. Occupational. Offend. Officer. Personal. Position. Post. Priest. Questioner. Quietness. Rank. Recognition. Relationship. Request. Respect. Result. Search. Senate. Shock. Silence. Simply. Somewhat. Sound. Standard. Stiff. Topic. Treat. Variation. Whole. Proper nouns. Andrew. Brown. Hartley. Rockefeller. Sally. Text. When you are with Americans, doing your own thing. Because our people have come from so many nationalities, there is a far wider range of what is acceptable than in some countries where the inhabitants have grown up with a common heritage. As a result, no one needs to feel uncomfortable in following his or her own customs. Although Americans are noticeably informal, if you prefer somewhat greater formality, feel free to act in your own way. This will be acceptable to those around you. As the young say, each person can do his own thing and be respected here to a very large extent. Personal questions. Conversational questions may seem to you both too personal and too many, especially when you first arrive. Where do you work? Are you married? How many children do you have? Have you taken your vacation yet? Are not personal questions by American standards. They are a search for common ground on which to build a relationship or base a conversation. Understand that such questions are meant to be friendly. It shows the questioner is interested in you. If you are asked questions that seem to you to be too personal, you need not answer them. You can simply smile or say pleasantly that you do not know, or, in my country, that would be a funny question, or turn the questions gently aside by some comment such as, isn't it interesting to see how different nationalities begin a conversation, or something similar. If you do that, follow it quickly with another topic, or make some comment of your own on variations in customs, or lead the conversation off in some other direction. The American will not be offended, but he or she will get the point. Meeting people. The whole matter of names is a culture shock to many people. Americans have a minimum feeling for rank, especially socially. Most do not themselves enjoy being treated with special respect for age or position. It makes them uncomfortable. Many Americans find even the terms Mr., Mrs., or Ms. stiff and formal. You hear people well beyond middle age say, even to quite young people, just call me Sally or Henry or Don. Being on first name terms is taken as a sign of acceptance and friendliness. However, this need not bother you. If you are not comfortable in following the boss's immediate request to call me Andrew, it is quite all right. Just smile and say, after a while perhaps, but thank you anyway. What we do use, however, are occupational titles. These are considered to be different because they show a recognition that has been earned, not merely inherited. Occupations that most frequently carry titles include diplomats, members of the Senate or certain other top government post, judges of the courts, military officers above a certain rank, medical doctors, professors and priests. Examples would be Ambassador Jones, Senator Smith, Governor Rockefeller, Judge Hartley, General Clark, Dr. Brown, Medical, Dr. Green, PhD, Father White. Silence. Many Americans find silence uncomfortable. They will say anything to fill any quietness if it extends for more than a moment. Students often study with their radios blaring. Housewives leave televisions on for the companionship of sound, even though they may be working in some other room. If you are silent for long periods, they will do their best to draw you out, or will ask if you feel all right, or if there is anything they can do to help you. One aspect of silence can be confusing, however. If Americans disagree with what you are saying, many of them will remain quiet. This may not indicate agreement. Often it only means that they consider it impolite to argue further. Lesson 23. Words and Expressions. Apartment. Asleep. Awake. Awoke. Awoke. Awaked. Basement. Bench. Boat. Can. Canning factory. Crane. Creep. Crept. Cry. Duck. Fisherman. Fly. Flew. Flown. Free. Hallway. Jump. Knock. Po. Lake. Nap. Nowhere. Pack. Plate. Repair. Roll. Rope. Sail. Shine. Shone. Sir. Softly. Stone. Struggle. Surface. Tiny. Toy. Tuna. Proper nouns. Karen. Miyoto. Text. The Crane Girl. 1. In a city by the sea, there lived an old man and his wife. They were very poor because they were too old to work. All his life, the old man had been a tuna fisherman. He sold his fish to the city canning factory. The old woman had worked in a Japanese restaurant. they had lived well. But now that they were too old to work, they had no money. The couple lived in a tiny apartment in the basement of a big apartment house. The old man repaired things that broke down in the other apartments. He had sold his fishing boat so that he and the old woman could use the money. The old woman walked the dogs of the other people in the apartment building. They had little money, but they were happy. One morning, the old man got all of his work done early, and he decided to spend the rest of the day at the park. He went into his apartment and packed himself a bit of lunch. He was looking forward to spending the day in the sunshine. When he arrived at the park, he was tired from the walk. He picked out a bench in the sun and sat down to eat his lunch. From his bench, he could see the park lake. He liked to watch the ducks swim. There were children at the water's edge sailing their toy boats. Once in a while, a fish would jump on the lake surface. That reminded him of the days when he was a fisherman. As he sat eating his sandwich, he heard the cry of a bird, "Caw, caw," near the water's edge. The old man walked to the bushes at the water's edge and saw a struggling white crane. It must have been one of the animals that belonged to the park. Its foot was caught between two stones, and it could not fly. Feeling sorry for the great bird, the old man crept close, and, speaking softly to calm the crane, he rolled the stones apart and freed it. With a cry of "Go, go," the crane rose into the air and flew to the other side of the lake. The old man returned to his bench. He watched the children with their boats until he nodded off to sleep. After a short nap, he awoke and started home. It would be time to help his wife prepare dinner. While they were working in the kitchen, he told her about freeing the crane. "That was nice," she said. "Doesn't it make you feel good to know that you helped the bird?" As soon as she spoke, there was a knock on the door. The old man answered the door and found a small Japanese girl standing there. Her little face shone with the light from the hallway. She was quite beautiful. "Please excuse me for knocking at your door, sir. I was in the park with my mother and father. I jumped rope with some other children. When I went back to find my parents, they were gone. I have nowhere to go. I saw your light, so I came in here. My name is Karen Miyoto." "Poor girl," cried the old woman. "Come in, dear, and have dinner with us." A third plate was put on the table, and the old couple shared their meal with the girl. After dinner, the old woman made her a bed on the sofa while the old man cleaned up in the kitchen. The girl fell asleep the moment she got into bed. Lesson 24. Words and Expressions. Amaze. Arm. In one's arms. Bolt. Cake. Careful. Cloth. Crack. Dollar. Fabric.
feast. Feather. Furnace. Giant. Gift. Hard. Kindness. Laughter. Loom. Merchant. Neighborhood. Neighbor. Owner. Payment. Peak. Pleasure. Pull. Repay. Repaid. Reward. Rice. Rush. Shuttle. Silk. Tidy up. Tiptoe. Unfinished. Voice. Weak. Weave. Wove. Woven. Text. The Crane Girl, 2. The next morning, the old man and woman were surprised to find tea already made. The girl was making breakfast. The apartment had already been cleaned and tidied up. "Good morning," Karen greeted them. "I hope you slept well. Breakfast is ready." The old man laughed. "Imagine, a daughter at our age. This is a reward for helping the bird yesterday," replied the old woman. Every day, Karen would go with the old woman to walk the dogs, in hopes that she would see her parents. But she returned every night with less and less hope. Children in the neighborhood soon met Karen and grew to love her. The home of the old couple was filled with the sound of laughter and children's voices. Several weeks had passed, and it would soon be time to celebrate the Japanese New Year. The old man said to his wife, "Karen has been such a pleasure to us. I would like to give her a gift." "So would I," said the old woman. Karen heard them talking. She felt sad because they were so poor. She came to them and said, "I know that life is hard for you. If you will let me repay your kindness to me, I will weave cloth for you to sell. I ask only one thing, that no one watches me while I weave." The old couple thought that this was strange, but they agreed. Karen went into the furnace room, and soon they heard the sound of the loom as the shuttle moved back and forth. For 3 days, Karen wove without stopping. She finally stepped into the apartment, holding a beautiful bolt of cloth. The old man and woman had never seen anything like it. They told Karen how beautiful it was. "Father," said the girl, "take this to the fabric shops and show it to the owners. Do not put a price on it, but let the merchants price it. This is a small payment for the home you have given me." The old man took the cloth and rushed to the street where all the shops were. The first shop owner looked at the cloth. "Where did you get this?" he asked. "My cousin in Japan sent it to me," answered the man. I will pay you $50 for it." The old man went into another shop. "This is very fine silk," said the owner. "I will pay you $300. The old man sold him the cloth. On the way home, the old man stopped to buy rice cakes and a gift for Karen. The three of them prepared a feast for the new year, and some of their friends came for a party. Even though they were careful, the money was soon spent. One day, Karen said, "I must weave more cloth. You can sell it again to the merchants, but remember what you promised. No one must see me while I work." 2 days went by, and all the time the sound of the loom filled the apartment building. The people who lived in the building came downstairs. "What is the noise?" they asked. "That is Karen weaving," the old woman answered. "Weaving? May we see?" asked the neighbors. "Oh, no," replied the old man. "We have promised her that no one will watch her." All this time, the old woman had wondered how Karen wove such beautiful cloth. She could stand it no longer. Quietly, she tiptoed to the furnace room. She peeked through a crack in the door. The old man missed her and ran down the hall to the furnace room. "Stop! Please stop!" he called to his wife. It was too late. She had already seen inside the room. What she saw amazed her. There, at the loom, was a giant white crane. The crane pulled feathers from its body and wove them into cloth. The old woman stepped back, and the door opened. Karen stepped out, holding in her arms an unfinished bolt of cloth. "Dear people," she said in a weak voice, "I am the crane you saved by the lake in the park. I wanted to help you by weaving cloth for you to sell." She began to cry, "But now that you know, I will have to leave." She walked from the building toward the park. The old couple followed her. When she reached the park, she stopped. Going to the old man and woman, she kissed them. Then she changed into a white crane and flew into the air. The bird looked down and cried, "Coo," as if she were saying goodbye. Then the bird rose, and the crane girl was gone.
听力课堂，欢迎你！
听力课堂，欢迎你！听啊，点儿看。